Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
The research has shown that the health benefits of laughter are so far-ranging. My guest is Dr. Steven Sinatra. He's an internationally known, sought-after cardiologist and just really great guest. So, Dr. Sinatra, the five ways to eat, cry, and laugh heart disease away. Tell us some of these ways and the benefits of laughter and even crying.
Well, I'll tell you, when I wrote the book Heartbreak and Heart Disease years ago, after I became a psychotherapist, I realized that crying was one of the best ways of releasing the heartbreak that we all have. And when you do that, you help prevent heart disease. So crying is incredible. And we actually did a study on this in Manchester Hospital years ago, where we looked at 44 men and women, and we measured stress hormones in the urine, like adrenaline and cortisol and norepinephrine. And what we realized, Melanie, it was amazing. Women who cried and got anger, you know, had anger during a workshop, but they sort of networked together. They held one another. They talked to one another. They made connections. The men, on the other hand, who didn't cry, who were too manly, who didn't show emotion, who were isolated, they were like lumps of clay. When we broke the codes, 80% of those men had heart disease, as opposed to the women, none of them had heart disease. It was absolutely amazing. So what I learned from that workshop was that men who don't cry get heart disease, and I actually wrote a paper on it. So that was back in 1982, and that's when I was in psychotherapy training, you know, learning how to be a therapist. So that was a great awakening.
And do you cry? Do you cry, Dr. Sinatra?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of my issues. It's hard for me to cry. I spent, hundreds of thousands of dollars in psychotherapy trying to learn how to cry. But the one movie that broke me was Hoosiers. Hoosiers was a movie that literally broke me, and I saw it five times because every time I saw it, I was crying and crying and crying.
You know, for most men, it's like Brian's Song. Has to be a dude movie, a sports dude movie. You know,
yes.
Sad, and it gets them kind of going. So crying, you typically would think, as a woman, I would think, oh, it brings you down, it depresses you. But you say just the opposite. So now, what else?
Well, laughter is also really good. I mean, if you laugh hard enough, what happens? You cry, you know, where you have that release, that spontaneous relief in the
body.
Or
you pee.
No, you could do that, depending on your
spectrum. If you're a woman,
that could happen. But, you know, if you look at laughing, I mean, laughing helps release endorphins. And laughing is a great way of lowering cortisol because you can't be vigilant at the same time as you're laughing. So laughing is incredible. I remember I was on a ship going from Newfoundland to Labrador. It was a ferry, and we were in like 70-foot seas, and everybody was seasick on the boat. But I chose to watch the Pink Panther that night on their TV circuits, and I was laughing so hard, I didn't get into the fear, and I didn't get seasick. So laughing is a great way of not only diverting the mind, but increasing those nice chemicals in the body, those endorphins that keep you happy.
And those
and
endorphins,
at the same time.
Well, and it helps your feelings, but now then explain to the listeners, Dr. Sinatra, how that actually helps keep heart disease away by laughing. You're increasing your serotonin, but cortisol, that's one of the real culprits in norepinephrine, correct?
Correct. In other words, you know, cortisol is the hormone of vigilance. Now, what do I mean by vigilance? Well, it's waiting for the, your shoe to drop, so to speak. You're living on edge. You're living in what we call heightened sympathetic tone, where your autonomic nervous system is on alert. And when that happens, you're very vulnerable to emotions. And when you're vulnerable to things like sadness or let's say rage or anger, with these hormones being at a high level in the body, this can cause undesirable circumstances. In the cardiovascular system. It can cause clotting of the blood, low potassium, which are really harbingers of what we call malignant ventricular arrhythmias. So our stress hormones can either help us in an emergency or kill us if we overdose on them.
Now,
and laughing is one way of discharging them, as crying is too. There's two great ways of discharging over-pent-up hormones.
And what about sex?
Sex is great. I mean, sex is also another way of having a release in the body, you know, or a discharge in the body. And the other thing about sex is if it's purely mechanical, without your heart in it, it is much less healing for the body, where it becomes more of a mechanical act. But if you truly have a feeling of love in your heart associated with the act of sexuality, then your heart opens, and when that happens, you have wonderful connection to your mate. And when you have such a vital connection, that type of connection is healing for the heart.
Well, that's interesting that you say so, you know, because if you're laughing, and there's lots of laugh yoga things now and laugh classes where they want you to fake it, as it were, because then eventually you sort of start really laughing. You know, they have these workshops, ha ha ha, and you start doing all this stuff.
Right.
But you don't want to fake it where sex is concerned, because then it's not really giving you those same benefits.
Of course, yeah. In other words, you don't want to betray the feeling in your body. And betrayal can, self-betrayal goes miles long. Let me give you this, the most common form of self-betrayal, when somebody tells a lie. When you tell a lie, your autonomic nervous system knows that you're lying. That's why there's lie detector tests, where you get a little blip. And just making a misrepresentation or a lie is a betrayal of the heart. And that over time, can cause, you know, serious consequences for the heart. The heart always knows the truth, Melanie. The heart is the center of our being. And we need to really follow our heart and follow the voice of our heart. And the voice of our heart is really telling the truth.
And it's the voice of the heart and that muscle that is the heart. And, of course, we have to feed our muscles the best that we can with laughter, crying, good sex. Now, what about eating your way to healthy hearts?
Well, eating is really important. I mean, what you want to do is eat a non-inflammatory diet. I'm sort of the type of individual that likes balance in a diet. I like a lot of plant-based foods because I like fiber. They can be fruits and vegetables, preferably organic fruits and vegetables that don't have a lot of insecticides or pesticides. But meat is okay as well. You know, as long as they're range-free meats, you know, meats that aren't, you know, contaminated with bovine growth hormone, or, you know, meats that aren't contaminated with, you know, a lot of toxic foods that, you know, these animals eat. So I like a non-inflammatory diet, and that's usually gluten-free, because gluten, to me, is a really inflammatory food. Again, the fresh fruits and vegetables, and we have to eat a lot of fiber. So people who eat a lot of meat, I tell them, if you're going to eat a lot of meat, especially red meat, you want to balance it with fiber so you clear, you know, those meat fragments from the intestines, which can putrefy over time and cause toxins in the intestines. So a high-fiber diet is really, you know, my best choice for reducing inflammation in the body.
Now, there are certain markers of inflammation as well, and we're going to talk about that, too, in a later segment. But when you think of inflammation, give us your very, very best advice for reducing our overall inflammation.
Yeah, well, first of all, we got to realize that most of us are inflamed. We don't go to a doctor's office and say we're inflamed, but we go to a doctor's office with high blood pressure, with headaches, with skin rashes, with discomfort, with arthritis. And these are all, you know, indications of inflammation. And basically, what causes inflammation? Well, sugar is probably the most common cause, so we have to eat, you know, a non-sugary diet. What are some other causes? Well, mercury in our food supply causes enormous inflammation. Insecticides and pesticides cause inflammation. Certainly, trans fats cause an enormous inflammatory response. Cigarette smoking, EMF, wireless, you know, radiation, Wi-Fi, that all causes inflammation in the body. Vaccinations cause inflammation. So there's so many things. Pharmaceutical drugs cause inflammation. So there's so many things where you have to look at, and we can measure inflammation in the body. We can measure urine, for example. We call it 8-OH guanethine in the urine, which is a marker of DNA breakdown, which is a marker of inflammation. We can measure C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, LP little a in the blood. These are situations in the blood. We call them inflammatory cytokines. We can measure those in the blood. So it gives us an indication of how inflamed we are. And the more inflammation we have in the body, the more prone to disease we have in that body.
And you can certainly laugh and cry and eat healthy things your way to keep heart disease away. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.